Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, where visitors can experience campus and learn about Luther's 60-plus academic programs, like engineering science, nursing, and music education. luther.edu/visit.
100 years ago, the poet Carl Sandburg turned Chicago into an American icon when he called it the City of Broad Shoulders. He wrote a series of poems describing Chicago as a gritty Midwestern metropolis teeming with hardworking immigrants. Well, now, composer David Nagler has celebrated the 100th anniversary of those poems by dusting them off and setting them to music. His new song cycle features a roster of musical heavy hitters, and this week, Charles Monroe Kane brings us a conversation with David Nagler about what those poems mean to him personally and what it feels like to contribute to the continuum of the Chicago experience.
Hog Butcher, for the world, Toolmaker.
So it was 1998. And my mother had visited the Carl Sandburg home in Flat Rock, North Carolina. My sister was, I think she was working at a summer camp down there. And my mother went to visit her. She had a day off. And she said, oh, I'll go check out the Carl Sandburg home. And she brought me back this anthology of poems called Harvest Poems. And she gave it to me at the end of the summer, not long before I went to Chicago to visit. I didn't know very much at all about Sandburg, but I knew that that was probably his most well-known work, with the exception of the Abraham Lincoln biography. And so I read it while I was there. It's these 16 poems out of Chicago poems, just about 150. And I just thought they were great. And more specifically, they just reminded me of song lyrics as I read them. And so that was sort of where it all started.
City of the Big Shoulders.
So you're reading them and you're like, yeah, these are songs. I mean, to me, that seems like a pretty big leap, because I know lyrics is poetry and all this stuff. But I got to tell you, when I heard I was going to do this interview, I had the album. I'm like, wait, I'm not going to read the album. I'm going to reread the poems. I'm a big fan of Sandberg, so I'm going to reread the poems first. And I was like, whoa, this is going to be hard. How's he going to pull this off? Like, how did you pull that off? Those aren't naturally right. Lyrics, really.
No, there were basically a handful, maybe like two or three, that sort of got the idea going. In particular, the poem Mag is the big one for me. That was the one where I read it, and at the time I was listening to a lot of Randy Newman records, and the character in that poem seemed like a character from a Randy Newman song. And like Lost was another one where it seemed very, very much like a kind of atmospheric lyric that I could set to music, and it didn't have to be a very long song or anything, but I could sort of use that one.
Where fog trails and mist creeps, the whistle of a boat calls and cries unendingly.
Once I had those two, that was when it just, the idea started snowballing, and then the really challenging lyrics happened, like, oh, Chicago, how am I going to set that to music? And
seriously, no, I've got to ask you about that, because everybody who's listening right now wants to know this question I'm about to ask you. I mean, you got to hit Hog Butcher for the World, man, or you have it. Your album's not going to work. Like, that's a lot of pressure. That's really iconic.
Yeah.
How did you pull that off? How did you pull off those famous, famous words?
Well, the one thing I can say about that is I didn't start with the intro.
That's smart.
Yeah,
that's smart.
I was like, I'm going to put this on the back burner for now. I started with the section where it goes, they tell me you are wicked and I believe them. And it's a very kind of like conversational sort of talking lyric. You know, it was sort of like half sung, half spoken. And I was like, that's the way I would approach any other poems like that. And so I kind of plowed ahead from there, got to the end of the poem and song, and then later went back and was like, okay, I got to do something anthemic for the Hog Butcher for the World part. And then that was where that sort of idea of like a bed of strings and a trumpet melody, and then the vocal comes in and sings the melody. So that was how that happened. But I did put off the anthemic part for a bit.
You got to get into it first, right? You got to kind of feel it, and then to go back to the hard part. Who were you thinking about when you were singing that? Right? Were you thinking about Carl Sandburg? Were you thinking about your mom? Were you thinking about yourself? Like the listener? I mean, who exactly was your audience at that moment?
Well, it was as much as I knew about Sandburg at the time, which was very little. I knew very little about him. I read some of the other poems and Harvest poems, but I didn't really dive deep until I was finishing the record. But I basically went by the text. What Sandburg was trying to convey about Chicago at the time, and was just like, that is what I want to be able to project outward. I made a list of all these, you know, mostly friends, I can call them, Chicago singers and songwriters and musicians that I was like, God, it would be so great if they were on the record. And pretty much just about everyone, you know, was involved.
So wait, so you just called Jeff Tweedy up and say, hey, Jeff, could you do Theme in Yellow? and he said, sure. And Jeff, do whatever you want? Or how does that work?
It was actually via Kelly Hogan that I ended up recording some of the Chicago guests at Wilco Studio in Chicago. And it was sort of after that Chicago experience that I had where I recorded everyone, that was when the sort of momentum sort of went into play to see if Jeff was available to sing it. Because as I was making that list, that song just seemed so well suited for him.
I spot the hills with yellow balls in autumn. I like the prairie cornfields, orange and tawny gold clusters. And I am called pumpkins.
Hey, tell me a little bit more about that song, because I thought I knew the Sandburg poems. I don't know this one at all. It's a fantastic poem.
Yeah.
And so you just knew you wanted Jeff to do that exact song. It's a great song for him, actually, now that you mention it. But how did that happen? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it, and it's really about a jack-o'-lantern, right? Like, it's not what you would think. How'd you pick that?
Well, there's, in the Harvest Poems collection, and it's interesting that this anthology is called Harvest Poems, because there are several poems within the Chicago poems, the poems that are taken from Chicago poems. There are many that talk about like the harvest moon,
right,
and the moon, and they have that sort of an autumnal sort of feeling to them. And that seemed to be something that Sandburg was really taken by at the time. And so Theme in Yellow, for me, took a long time to actually finish it. I didn't know where I wanted to go. And that's interesting that you mentioned the jack-o'-lantern element, because for a while it was going to be sort of like a minor key, maybe a little bit of even a scary song.
Yes, I wanted to ask you that. It's not in a minor key. Why? Like, that's really surprised me.
Really what it comes down to is I tried it and it didn't work.
Right, because I mean, I'm looking at it right here. I'm like, I am a jack-o'-lantern with terrible teeth.
Yeah.
And the children know I am fooling. There's that twist at the end, right?
Well, yeah, but that's sort of the positive, you know, major twist at the end. Ah, the children just know it's all for fun. You know, sort of that kind of vibe.
You do this upbeat song surrounding, you have Jep Tweedy sing it, and it becomes, from my understanding, looking at it on the internet and interacting with people in the media, this kind of becomes a hit. I mean, Rolling Stone and Pitchfork, people flip out over Jep Tweedy singing this song. People love it. Were you surprised by that?
Not really. I mean, Wilco's a great band, and Jeff has a lot of fans, and he just did an amazing job with it. I mean, it's like the second he sent over the vocal for me to listen to, and I heard the first word and I immediately flipped out. It was perfect. It's what you always dream about, and then it happens, and it's even more amazing.
Fantastic. Cue music. How's that? I'll remind myself. That's beautiful, dude.
as professors who teach the meaning of life to tell me what is happiness. And I went to famous executives who boss the work of thousands of men.
The song Happiness. Oh my God, it's so beautiful. Can you tell me about how that came about?
Well, that was conceived in two parts. That was one of the early ones that I had written. But I definitely wanted to be the first part. I wanted to be sort of upbeat. It was almost sort of like a hardcore song, actually, in the initial way that I had imagined it. Like it had this sort of like hardcore, sort of punk, slightly Balkan sort of feel to it. And then I wanted the second part to be a little bit more grand. And of course, they, you know, he mentions having an accordion within the poem. And so I was like, well, there should probably be an accordion as well. And so that was the way I had, I'd always sort of imagined it. It's a song in two parts. And in fact, you know, one sort of fades out and the other one kind of fades in from there. So much to the point where even as I was finishing up the record, it was always like two separate tracks that I just had to, you know, right, put together in mastering. So,
you know, that twist at the end of that song, you know, yeah, the happiness is found by Hungarians drinking beer by a river with their women and their children and their accordions, but not by the executives and the fat cats with the cigars, you know. I must have listened to that 10 times in a row, and I'm like, oh my God, this is an old Woody Guthrie song. It felt like the way he would do it, and then you twist it. I went to this guy, and in the end, I find it with the Hungarians. Like, is there something about that time period, this time of our history, that conjures up these kind of songs?
Well, this is, I mean, at the time that he wrote this, Sandberg was a journalist. He, when he moved back to Chicago, he was in Milwaukee before that, working as, I believe, secretary to the Democratic Socialist mayor. And then he moved back to Chicago and he was working mostly as a journalist, where he would interview basically all sorts of people, and he would be on different assignments all throughout the city and sort of on the outskirts as well. And so that was, you know, this was something that to him was like kind of like a basic truth that, like, you can have all the money and power in the world, but that really doesn't mean that much in the scheme of things. Like, what you need is just like family and good times and, you know, freedom and happiness. That was sort of, I think, what Sandberg believed.
Everybody loved Chick Lorimer in our town, far off. Everybody loved her, so we all love a wild girl, keeping a hold on a dream she wants.
I'm listening to this music in the context of Donald Trump,
right,
you know, the kind of the epitome of a fat cat in a sense, right, you know, the cigar chomping guy. And I think to myself, a lot of people think, I think, that happiness isn't singing by the river, right, with your women and your children, your accordions and your beer anymore. Don't you think? I mean, I think that used to be a known assumption. I don't know if it is anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not taken as, but then again, I'm not sure it was taken as a given back then either.
Sure.
I mean, because there were certain people had certain aspirations, especially when you're talking about like, you know, immigrant populations coming into the States who want to make it for themselves and feed their family and everything. And I think we don't have that sort of drive as
right.
much anymore. I mean, maybe at this point there's too much cynicism. It's tough to say.
Right. But I can tell you that I live in a smaller town in America, and I was thinking about this poem because I live by a river, and there was a Mexican family, very large extended Mexican family there, and the men on one level are playing soccer over here. There's somebody playing guitar. They're heating up tortillas and meat on a grill. Everyone's running around. You know, there's soda. People are cutting limes. People are laughing. And I'm saying to myself, this is the American dream, and yeah. these are the Hungarians by the river. Like why does it take the immigrants to do that for us? I think, you know, that's what your song brought for me.
Yeah, that's a really good question. But it's, you know, if nothing else, it's just good to see that happiness is a constant, and exactly 100 years later, you know, you still see it, you know, actually taking place. That's really inspiring, I think.
Composer David Nagler talking about his musical celebration of the 100th anniversary of Carl Sandburg's famous Chicago poems. Charles Monroe Kane talked with him.